Welcome to Ankh Live On Air. I'm your host today, Jessica Hergert. Ankh Live On Air is a podcast from Ankh Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Ankh Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Tony K. Chueri, MD, Director of the Lank Center for Genitourinary Oncology, Director of the Kidney Cancer Center, and Senior Physician at Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, and the Jerome and Nancy Kohlberg Chair and Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School, to discuss the FDA approval of adjuvant pembrolizumab in renal cell carcinoma. On November 17, 2021, the FDA approved pembrolizumab as therapy for the treatment of patients with renal cell carcinoma who are at intermediate high or high risk of recurrence following nephrectomy or following nephrectomy and resection of metastatic lesions. The regulatory decision was based on findings from the Phase 3 KEYNOTE-564 trial, in which pembrolizumab led to a 32% reduction in the risk of disease recurrence or death versus placebo. The median duration of exposure to pembrolizumab was 11.1 months. Additional data showed that the 24-month disease-free survival rate with pembrolizumab was 77% versus 68% with placebo. In terms of safety, 20% of patients who received pembrolizumab experienced serious adverse reactions, including acute kidney injury, adrenal insufficiency, pneumonia, colitis, and diabetic ketoacidosis. Moreover, 0.2% of patients who received pembrolizumab experienced fatal adverse reactions. This included one case of pneumonia. 21% of patients discontinued pembrolizumab because of toxicity, the most common of which was increased alanine aminotransferase, followed by colitis and adrenal insufficiency. Additionally, 26% of patients required dose interruptions of the immunotherapy because of an adverse effect such as increased aspartate aminotransferase, arthralgia, hypothyroidism, diarrhea, increased alanine aminotransferase, fatigue, rash, decreased appetite, and vomiting. In our exclusive interview, Chueri discussed the significance of the FDA approval of pembrolizumab as adjuvant therapy in renal cell carcinoma and key data from the pivotal Phase 3 KEYNOTE-564 trial. What does the approval of adjuvant pembrolizumab mean for the space of renal cell carcinoma overall?
I think this is big news overall. Folks, we like us and many before us, we're trying to find an option to decrease the risk of recurrence in high-risk kidney cancer in these patients subjected to nephrectomy for a curative intent, in a curative intent fashion, but we know the cancer has a chance to come back. So stage 2 high-grade, stage 3 lymph node positive, or even when the cancer spread to an organ, like let's say the lung, and we're lucky enough to get it resected and render the patient free of disease. But we know with follow-up imaging that the patient remains at risk, and sometimes at significant risk for recurrence. So for a long time, there has been many, many attempts to try to provide, you know, a therapy that decreases that risk. Pembrolizumab in KEYNOTE-564 led to a decrease of 32% in the risk of recurrence or death. And pembrolizumab is a natural next step to use to prevent the cancer coming back, since it showed activity in these patients with cancer metastatic to different organs and cannot be resected. It showed activity in combination with axitinib and with lenvatinib. So we launched that study several years ago, and it did accrue 994 patients, half got pembrolizumab, half got placebo. So very excited about the result. This has already been presented during the 2021 ASCO, AUA, as well as ESMO.
What made pembrolizumab a rational choice to evaluate in the adjuvant setting?
You really want always to treat the disease before it becomes metastatic or even decrease that chance of metastasis. And this has been an unmet medical need for many years. The TKI, for example, that since mid-2000 changed before the immunotherapy and immune checkpoint inhibitor and drugs like pembrolizumab came, they changed how we treat metastatic renal cell cancer. They have been, except for one trial, completely, largely negative without any benefit except for adding toxicity for a year. Even in the setting where I mentioned at the highest risk, which what we call the M1 NED, these resected metastases. Even with that, there are two drugs, two trial randomized, have been used and, you know, have been tried without any benefit. So the stakes were high here. And the study was powered enough, almost 1,000 patient study, to answer this question. And good for our patients, pembrolizumab is an option now to use after the FDA approval on November 17th.
Could you highlight some of the key data points from the KEYNOTE-564 trial in terms of efficacy, safety, and notably, quality of life?
Yeah, this is a great question. Remember, still some patients without pembrolizumab surgery alone are cured. So, and we don't know who are those patients. This is the next generation of studies to look at biomarkers, you know, who are the patients destined to relapse. In renal cell, it's never black and white, and, you know, it's somewhat gray in a way. We can give you a percentage, but impossible to know. So safety and quality of life, which is the patient voice, these what we call patient-reported outcome, are important. In the first release of the data during the ASCO meeting, we looked at toxicity and safety in details. Of course, going against placebo, pembrolizumab, higher toxicity rate. Now, pembrolizumab as a drug, as a single agent, is approved in many indications. This is not first in a human. The first thing to look at, is there any signals of toxicity comparing across trial with single agent pembrolizumab in the adjuvant setting of renal cell cancer that are different? And the answer is no, there isn't. You know, immune-related adverse event, of course, higher when you go against a placebo. Now, they were around hyper and hypothyroidism, which is easily treatable, but we did have some that are quite serious that led to treatment discontinuation, such as pneumonitis, diabetes, autoimmune diabetes, hypophysitis, and others. One thing we look at that is important for toxicity is the use of corticosteroid, which could be also a marker of efficacy in a way. And 7% of patients needed what we call high-dose steroid, 40 milligram equivalent of prednisone or higher. Now, patient-reported outcome, as I said, is an important endpoint for the patient, for the treating physician and their families. And during the 2021 ESMO, we presented this data using extensive questionnaires. And over time, there was no difference in patient-reported outcome using two questionnaire. Having said so, these questionnaires are designed in the metastatic RCC setting. We don't have one specific for adjuvant therapy in renal cell cancer, but the confidence intervals did overlap, showing that quality of life did not drop on pembrolizumab.
Where do you anticipate future directions with pembrolizumab will be aimed?
I think always we have to think about you know, the future and how can we make things better for patients. I think step one is hopefully coming up with biomarkers to tell us who really need pembrolizumab and who doesn't. This continues. Nothing we could promise. One way to look is at the circulating tumor DNA, liquid biopsies. One of the problems with renal cell is a tumor that doesn't shed much tumoral DNA. So, you know, how sensitive that test is going to be. We're working on that. The second thing is, can we make that 32% better now that pembrolizumab hopefully will be a standard and we can build on that? That's an important next build on that, hopefully with drugs that are quite well tolerated. It's very important in the adjuvant setting to have drugs that are well tolerated. So the TKIs, sunitinib, pazopanib, axitinib, overall have not been well tolerated in an adjuvant setting to a degree that In few trials, actually, in the majority of trials, a dose reduction was needed, and the protocol had to be amended to start at a lower dose than when we start metastatic disease. One of them is the ASSURE trial with sunitinib and sorafenib, and the PROTECT trial with pazopanib. So these are the important next step. One of the conundrum and that this study created is what do we do in clinical practice, maybe not relevant to the adjuvant setting, if a patient tumor grows while on or after getting pembrolizumab, what do you use? We don't have data. What do you use post-adjuvant immunotherapy? And we're trying to come up with trial that can answer this important question.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Enclave and at Enclave SOSS. On Facebook, like us at Enclave and Enclave State of the Science Summit, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave on Air.